Welcome to Spirits on Spirits, a podcast where we mix ghost stories with a little liquid courage. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Nate.
And together we'll dive into the eerie, the unexplained, and the downright terrifying, all while enjoying a drink or two. Each episode we'll explore haunted places, ghostly encounters, and paranormal mysteries, pairing them with the perfect cocktail to keep our nerves steady. So grab a glass, turn down the lights, and join us as we sip, shiver, and swap some spine-chilling stories. Because here at Spirits on Spirits, the only thing stronger than the ghosts are our drinks.
Ho ho! Welcome back, members of the Shiver Society.
Ooh, a little cold, a little chilly in here.
Well, I think more of like a spook shiver, like a ghosty, a little ghouly shiver.
Got the goose pimples.
Oh, yeah, the goose pimples. Oh, man. Well, welcome back to another episode of Spirits on Spirits. We are so excited that you are joining us this week.
Dude, you know what I just thought of?
What?
This is our legal drinking age episode.
Yeah.
Episode 21.
Our podcast could drink.
Yeah.
Our podcast.
All cheers to that, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, we are so excited you guys are joining us. We have a great one for you this week. It's a beautiful night here in Salem, Mass. That is not where we're staying, though. We are headed to where, Aiden? Do you want to tell the people where we're headed?
Baltimore,
Maryland.
Home of the Ravens.
Home of the Ravens. Edgar Allan Poe. What else are they known for?
I don't know what else they're known for.
They're definitely known for stuff. Catholicism, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, because Maryland was the colony that the Catholics got. Remember that?
Maryland is known for the Navy.
Yeah. Yep. Annapolis.
Annapolis.
Yep. Have you ever been to Baltimore?
I was trying to think about this because I've been to Maryland. I've been to Annapolis.
Okay.
But I don't think I've ever been to Baltimore.
Okay.
Have you?
Yeah. Twice. I've been to Baltimore twice.
Is it worth going?
The Inner Harbor is. The Inner Harbor is gorgeous, and I'm sure there's other parts of the city, but when I went, some of it was definitely a little rough around the edges. We saw a like 20 cop bust or takedown from our hotel window the last time I was there. Guys were like laying on the street and all that stuff, and yeah, that was definitely an eventful thing. But I've Camden Yards, where the Baltimore Orioles play, is like one of the best ballparks I've been to. Awesome. Nice. So, yeah, no, been a great food. Under Armour, home of Under Armour. Baltimore's a home of Under Armour. Cool. Yep. But, yeah, no, it was a good vibe. So, I definitely enjoy it. And I like places that got spooky stuff. And Baltimore's definitely got some spook factor to it. So,
cool.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Excited to get into the haunts today.
Let's do it. Well, before we get into the booze, we got to get into the booze, dude.
Yeah.
What are we sipping?
So, I'm actually pretty stoked on this drink.
Nice.
It looks delectable.
I will say, these do look absolutely delightful.
So, it is the Orange Crush.
Ooh.
So, it's going to be 2 ounces of vodka, preferably orange-flavored vodka.
Oh.
2 ounces of triple sec. Either one full orange juiced, or and this is what I did, just a third of a cup of orange juice.
Oh, nice.
A few dashes of orange bitters, and then just top it off with a little bit of Sprite.
So, this sounds amazing.
Yeah, and it looks really good.
With the, like, the orange slice, too.
Yeah, and that's the last piece, is the orange slice for garnish.
Very orange. If you don't like orange, this drink might not be for you.
Yeah.
But it looks very, and like the glass you serve it in, it's very like summery. Like,
I don't know if that's like the typical. Oh. I did a wine glass.
Got you.
I looked online. It looked like there was some different glassware that you can use. But I decided, you know what? I'm going a little fancy schmancy.
Let's do it.
A little wine glass.
Let's live it up.
All right. Let's, I'm super stoked to try it. So let's cheers to it,
brother.
To Baltimore.
To Baltimore. Ooh, this mocktail version is very good.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah, It's got the fizz. It's got a great flavor. It's a strong orange flavor. Like, don't get me wrong. It's a very strong orange flavor.
Strong orange, and then you got, like, the nice little carbonation of the Sprite.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
It's good.
It's, yeah. No good. Complaints about this.
You're going to have no problem down in
We've had some. We've had some questionable cocktails over the weeks, but this one is definitely going to be a fan favorite.
Hell yeah.
So, I'm pretty stoked on my story as well tonight.
Really?
So, I am going to be doing the USS Constitution. Ooh. Or not, sorry. Not the USS Constitution, that's in Boston.
Yeah.
The USS Constellation.
Oh, Constellation. Yeah. Switch it up on the people a little
bit. Fun little name.
Nice.
So, this ship was launched in 1854.
Got you.
It's a sloop of war, and it was the last sail-only warship that was designed and built by the United States Navy.
No kidding.
So it was the last one without engines.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Was that Civil War?
1854, so this was about 6 or 7 years before the Civil War.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
It can sometimes be confused with an earlier ship of the same name that was launched in the 1700s.
Got you.
And it was one of the Navy's original 6 warships.
Huh. So they repurposed the name.
Yeah, but ship is like a good historical, like it made its own legacy separate from the name of the other warship.
Ship. Yeah. Got you. Cool.
So it was constructed in Norfolk, Virginia.
Nice.
And it was commissioned to patrol American waters.
America.
Project naval power abroad, and uphold the country's evolving interests on the seas.
Right.
So, one of the most notable roles of the ship came during the mid-19th century when she joined the U.S. Navy's African Squadron to suppress the transatlantic slave trade. So, between 1859 and 1861, the ship would intercept and capture slave ships. Freeing hundreds of enslaved Africans.
No way.
I think is sick.
I didn't even know we had a division of the Navy that did that.
Yeah, I mean, Northern State.
Yeah.
You know.
Fair.
Trying to combat the Confederacy.
Yeah.
Before the Civil War officially kicked off.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
Throughout her service, the Constellation served in various capacities. So, during the American Civil War, the ship protected Union interests abroad and prevented Confederate ships from operating in the Mediterranean.
Nice. Confederate ships made it all the way over to the Mediterranean?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was going over to, like, Africa to gather slaves and stuff like that. So, and then in the later years, it transitioned into a training vessel, helping to prepare future naval officers and sailors.
Whoa, very cool.
She continued to serve during both World Wars as a training.
Sail only? Oh, as a training.
Training and ceremonial ship.
Got you.
And was finally decommissioned in 1955.
Wow.
And then since then, it's been preserved as a floating museum in Baltimore, where she remains a powerful symbol of maritime history.
That is very cool.
Super cool career for this ship.
Absolutely. Been everywhere, done everything.
Helped free a bunch of enslaved Africans.
Yeah.
Helped in the Civil War for the Union. Didn't fight, but participated in ceremonies and training for the World Wars.
Whoa.
That's important.
Yeah.
Important
absolutely.
Stuff. So the ship, as the podcast will kind of allude to, is haunted.
Whoa.
Yeah, so there are spooky ghosts.
Spooky ghosts.
On the ship. many believe that the haunted reputation stems from the immense emotional trauma associated with the missions that the Constellation participated in.
Sure, that makes sense.
So as I stated, it would intercept slave ships. So obviously, some of the freed captives reportedly died on board the ship. Disease.
Yeah.
You know, terrible conditions at sea.
Sure.
Stuff like that.
That makes sense.
The sorrow, fear, and pain experienced by those individuals may have left a mark on the ship.
May have.
Mayhaps. Spiritualists argue that these emotional imprints can become hauntings, particularly when violent or tragic. And then the execution of mutinous sailors, fatal training accidents, and maritime illness only add to the ship's death toll. The emotional residue of suffering and injustice may be what anchors those spirits to the vessel.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, a little pun.
Not too shabby.
A little nautical pun.
Oh, man. It was very... No, I didn't have it.
Okay.
I didn't have it. I stepped up to the plate and realized I didn't have it.
Strike one.
Yep.
So the first location on board the ship that is reported to be haunted is the captain's cabin.
Ooh.
The trying to think of a combination word for captain and cabin. There's one there. Cabden.
Cabden.
Captain.
Captain. Captain cabin. Reporting to duty.
Damn. Yeah.
No.
It's not hitting.
It's not hitting. Yeah, you take a couple more sips and then maybe they'll
hit. Yeah, that's fair. A little sip break.
Sip break. Woo woo. We'll say that big ass orange slice made it a little.
It got in the way a little bit.
You can take that off to sip now.
I might try and just shove it in there. Shush it in there. Yeah. No, that's the stuff.
Shoving it in. Pause.
Yeah, we're just going to move right on from that one. The captain's cabin. So, visitors report the sensation of being scrutinized.
Oh.
As if someone
is... What the fuck is the sensation of being scrutinized like?
Like, you listeners can't see me, but I'm like looking sternly at Nate.
You, like, walk into a room and you're like, I don't know what it is, but this room hates me right now.
It's feeling pretty judgy right now.
Fucking hates me. Oh, man.
As if someone is still commanding the ship from the shadows. It's like when you, like, walk in somewhere and you're like, I feel underdressed or, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, captains would be, like, looking at uniforms and stuff like that and, like, making sure that the sailors were in top order.
Yeah, I get. Yes, 100%. I just think it's funny that a room carries that energy. Because usually people carry that energy, and obviously...
I get it, though. That's like, ghost. You walk into a place and you're like, oh, I just don't feel like I belong here.
I guess. Yeah, you, like, walk in, the floorboards go, oh, my God. And you're like, dude, what?
You should not have chosen that outfit. The captain hates it.
Oh, man. Yeah, this room sounds not fun to be in.
No. A dark figure of a male has been seen sitting at the writing desk, vanishing when approached. Others have heard the steady cadence of boots pacing across the wooden floorboards, echoing through the silent halls.
Huh.
One chilling account came from an overnight guest who awoke to find a transparent man in full uniform standing at the foot of their hammock. That would freak me out.
Yeah. You're like, oh man, let's do this really cool thing. Let's sleep at a museum. We're going to stay in a hammock.
A ship.
Yeah.
It's still in the water.
Uh-huh. And you're in a hammock. You're like, this is so cool, guys. And then you just wake up halfway through the night and an invisible man goes, get up, maggot.
No, it didn't do that. It raised a hand in salute before dissipating.
Huh. All right. Saved it. That's kind of cool. I'd be like, am I in the military
now?
Dude,
imagine waking up in a hammock on a boat and you just hear, tan, what?
And you're like, oh, fuck, dude.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
I feel like that would be triggering to actual people
Absolutely.
Who are in the military.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Experts debate whether the ship's spirits are intelligent or just residual hauntings. So, like, in other words, like, are they the spirits of beings that are, like, still there? Or are they just, like, like memories and experiences that are like left over from the past kind of thing.
Okay.
Residual hauntings are like recordings, scenes that play over and over again without the awareness of the present. So like footsteps, distant cannon fire, or recurring whispers.
Nice.
But many believe that some spirits aboard the Constellation are very much like aware and present. They interact, move objects, and can even respond to questions. On multiple occasions, investigators using spirit boxes have received clear responses to questions. Names, ranks, years have been relayed with accuracy that have been confirmed by naval records, which is so cool.
Yeah.
It's also cool that, like, in most of the places that we talk about, I feel like there's no, like, central records that can be accessed that would have the information that, like, the ghosts might be saying.
Uh-huh.
But here, it's, like, everything in the U.S. Navy Absolutely. History has yeah. been recorded.
No, and that's, like, you know, it's funny because the EVP and all that kind of stuff, I kind of call bullshit on a lot, but it's like one of those things where it's like most of them, you're like, all right, they do an EVP and they're like, what do you want to tell us? And then it goes, death. And they're like, yo, it said death.
They died.
They died. Oh my gosh. But then this one, it's like, all right, what do you want to tell us? And it's like, Petty Officer Davis. And you're like, yo, that's a real name that served on this ship. Like, it's like, that actually adds a lot more validity to the EVP stuff than what most of the stuff
does.
Yeah,
dude, like, sometimes I'll be watching, like, a ghost show, like, specifically, like, BuzzFeed Unsolved or something.
Yeah.
And they'll be doing one of those sessions, and it'll be, like, red. And Brian will be like, dude, I wrote with a red pen this morning. And it's like, cool, dude. Like, that doesn't fucking mean anything.
No, that does nothing for the ghost.
Or for me.
Validity, yeah.
Like, it's not going to convince me that ghosts are real.
Yeah.
Another infamous ghost is believed to be the ship's surgeon. So, he appears in a blood-stained apron and has been spotted in the medical bay and the lower decks. Witnesses describe him as expressionless, going through the motions of treating invisible patients. Some claim to hear moans and groans as if the wounded sailors are still waiting for the care.
Jeez.
One guest fainted upon seeing the surgeon, convinced that she had seen his scalpel glint in the lantern light.
Oh, jeez.
I feel like I know a lot of people who, like, pass out at even just talking about medical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine seeing someone, like, even, like, performing an active, like, something, especially, like, an 1800s ghost.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, grotesque that would medical do it. Yeah. practices.
Uh-huh. No fucking thank you.
So, last but not least, is the cursed brig. So, below deck lies the brig, which is where sailors who disobeyed orders were locked away. So, it's like the ship prison kind of thing. Today, visitors entering the brig report oppressive energy, nausea, and dread. Many refuse to enter for a second time. And a shadowy figure, perhaps a punished sailor, has been seen gripping the bars from inside the cell. Investigators have heard shouts of, let me out!
Oh, jeez.
Even when the ship was closed to the public.
That's terrifying.
Yeah.
That's not cool.
It sounds like some of the prisons that we've talked about, where it's like the traumatic experiences live on kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
So...
because being in a prison would suck. Being in a prison on a boat would really suck.
And being in a prison on a boat for eternity would suck even more.
That is maximum suckage.
Maximum suckage for sure. So that's the USS Constellation. Kind of a shorter story, but I feel like there's a lot of like ghostly activity there.
Absolutely.
And a lot of cool history. So what do you think, haunted or not?
Haunted. Wartime history. Been kicking for a long ass time to it seems like there have been a lot of encounters, all that kind of stuff. This is a Nathaniel certified haunt.
So here's a kind of interesting question. So obviously when ships get decommissioned most of the time from the military, they get like purposely sunk.
Yeah.
Do you think that if a haunted ship is sunk, that the ghosts stay with the ship at the bottom of the ocean?
Ooh.
Or do you think that they like haunt the surface of the ocean or something?
I could see them haunting the surface of the ocean where they got sunk.
So you think that they would just stay...
But they can't like go far.
You think they would stay like...
attached to
at
the
surface?
Ship. Yes.
Interesting. But then like the residual stuff, like there's no place for that to occur.
No. Or I mean...
Maybe
it does occur, we just don't know.
No place that the person who was alive would recognize to do the residual hauntings.
Uh-huh.
So like, how would that work?
I don't know.
Interesting.
Never thought of that before.
I never have either. But now I have.
Meh.
I don't know. I kind of think that they might stay with the ship.
Like, go down with the ship?
Go down with the ship.
Huh?
And just float around down there.
I could see that.
Or maybe is it like a...
Do you think they're ghost fish?
I mean, you could say, like, the same about, like, ants.
Is there ghost ants?
Dude. That's freaky. Because there would be, like, trillions of them.
Mm-hmm.
How weird would that be if, like, it wasn't just people, but it's, like, just all around us all the time are...
ghosts?
Random ghost beings of, like, animals, insects, reptiles.
That's crazy.
Fish.
Have we seen a ghost animal? Have we?
Yeah, dogs and cats.
Really? There's ghost
there's
dogs?
There's been some ghost cats.
Really?
Yeah, I think in our Salem episode there was one. Because remember, like, out in the streets they'll see, like, black cats or something?
Oh.
And then there's
no,
been, a, there's been a couple
that.
Of other ones.
Really?
Over the weeks.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
Yeah, so we see certain animals, but those are the ones that are domesticated. Like, obviously,
yeah.
you don't really hear about, like, ghost cows. But
dude, ghost cows.
Ghost cow tipping?
That would be sick. Or not. It would be mean.
I've never been cow tipping, obviously.
No.
But
that would be.
Can they feel it as a ghost?
I feel like cow tipping in general is just mean.
It's so fucked up.
Yeah, because it's a cow. Just let be, dude.
Yeah. And it can, like, hurt them, like, bad.
Can it?
Yeah, it can, like, crack their ribs and shit. They fall, and they don't have any way to brace themselves.
No. That's a lot of beef falling.
Yeah. Farmers hate cow tipping because it, like, actually costs them money.
Oh, damn.
But anyway, I don't know how we got on that tangent. But, yeah, dude, just seeing, like, random ghost animals would be crazy.
Yeah.
Ghost birds? Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah. What do you think, haunted or not?
I'll go with haunted. I think... I always think, like, the history says a lot about whether or not a place is haunted. And this
Agreed.
Ship has a lot of history.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool, the idea of a ship being haunted, because it's like... when it's a house, the ghosts are confined to that one spot, and they just see the same shit day in and day out.
Yeah.
But with a ship, you can move it. So, like, ghosts move with it, and then they get to see whatever is around them.
They get
which
to
is
see the
cool.
ghost world.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
So, certified Spirits on Spirits haunted stamp
Word.
On the USS Constellation.
It's also such a sick name for a ship.
Super cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, cool. All right, well, you want to chug, and then I'll hit you with my story once we come back.
Do a little chuggeroo.
That's a big chug. You didn't take that many sips during
your
story.
I did not take many sips.
This will be an interesting chug, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's going down pretty easy. Took a big gulp.
You can't chug it because it's fizzy.
Yeah, that's fair.
I might explode if I chug it.
He's got a lot of... he had bubble throat. Just like a boop. He is.
I almost just got slapped in the face by the orange...
yeah. It is sitting in a very inconvenient way in his glass. It's like almost like a lid on.
It is a lid
On top of
the
liquid.
mistake. But it feels like, you know, that like TikTok challenge that's going around, or that was going around. It's probably outdated by now, where people try and chug Sprite, like a full bottle of Sprite.
No, I
And
did not see that.
for some reason, Sprite in particular makes you like super burpy.
Yeah, I believe that.
So they like, there's some crazy sounds that come out of people when they do it.
Did you ever see the video of the kid trying to chug the sparkling water?
And he's like, what do I do?
And then he ran into the garage.
That was, it's still one of the best videos.
I think it might
time,
be like top three internet videos of
all
time.
Yeah, absolutely top. Like, for sure, top five.
Yeah.
I mean, what's up there? That one. I don't even know what else would be up there.
Charlie Bit My Finger.
Charlie Bit My Finger is good.
But
is it like, I don't know. I kind of think it's a little overrated.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm trying to think, what are like top internet videos of all time? I don't know. I guess I just don't go on the internet that much.
I'm a decently chronically online person. Like, I'm not like as bad as some people I know.
Yeah.
But I know some like deep cut references that people make sometimes.
Well, give us some of your internet videos. That
I'm trying to think of good ones that like might be up there in terms of that one where the kid comes back from getting his wisdom teeth removed and he like had the laughing gas and he's like freaking out about his hands or something in the back of the car.
That's a good one. That's a good one. The I'm not gay no more.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I am delivered.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I don't
like mans no more.
I am delivered.
Oh, man.
I don't know what else. He's almost done.
Yeah,
folks.
I'm very close to being done.
He's very close.
Progress is being made.
I'm giving him the props because it was pretty full.
And it's a hard drink to chug.
Yeah.
It's not like you're chugging like a martini or something where it's just alcohol. It's like, it's a fizzy beverage. All right. We did it.
There we go.
Oh. Drink chugged.
Boom.
Oh, man. All right. Yeah, I would say that those are definitely top three. Maybe top, like, definitely top five, but probably top three.
Yeah. Dude, I looked it up. Top internet videos of all time. And I don't know if you remember this one. The dude that's, like, smoking. We don't condone driving under the influence here on Spirits on Spirits. But the kid was, like, driving and, like, rapping, and it looked like he was, like, literally, like, in hyperspace. He was going so fast. Do you remember that? Like, this one, where he was, like, going literally, like everyone's, like, driving, like, 400
I've actually
miles
never
forever.
Seen that one before.
Oh, man. Like, everyone's, like, dude, what?
But that reminds me of kind of a more recent one where the guy was, he didn't have his license. Or, like, he got his license revoked for, like, court-mandated stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he was on Zoom. He was in Zoom court for one of those offenses.
Oh, yeah.
But he was driving, and he was like, all right, let me just park.
Yeah.
And the judge is like, sir, are you driving?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah.
Yeah. Dude, so, all right, I got a couple more, and then we'll go to break. I ain't nobody got time for that.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Yeah. Bronchitis. Back it up, tear.
Back it up, tear is
yep.
a great
Put it in
one.
Reverse, tear. Oh, man, that's a great one. Let's see. Ooh, the kid, like, doing, like, the whipping nene on the track. That's a good one. I don't know.
You know, one that I think is underrated is I don't care that you broke your elbow.
Oh, man. Crazy. All right. Let's send it to break and then hit the people on the other side with a new cock or a reloaded that, drink.
I thought you were going to try and shorten pause. Cocktail.
No, I was
with
I,
a fresh cock.
I didn't. I meant to say new cocktail, but halfway through I was like, no, it's not a new cocktail. It's just a reloaded drink. So I did end up saying with a new cock.
We're going to reload our cock.
We're going to get a new cock. We're not doing that. We're just going to fill our beverages up again and then hit the road again. So, all right. We will see you guys on the other side.
Be right back.
Peace.
We're balking auction.
We're boxing.
Boxing.
Boxing and ready to...
Rockshin.
I was trying to think of something, so I appreciate that. All right, are you ready for my story?
I am, dude. I'm excited for this because I always like the second half because I get to drink my drink at a normal speed.
It's fair.
Chugging Sprite is not an easy thing.
Yeah.
So getting to casually sip my Sprite drink is going to be way easier.
I completely agree. That's why I like the first half, because I get to just sit back and chill. But I am also excited to give you my story. So, what do you know about Edgar Allan Poe?
He wrote The Raven.
Yep. Nevermore. Nevermore.
I know not a whole lot about, like, I know he had, like, a pretty sad end to his life. I'm pretty sure he, like, died in a sewer or, like, in a gutter.
Yeah, you know what? You're not super far off. It's definitely way more mysterious than that, so, and I will bring it up.
That's about it. That's okay. About all I know.
Yeah, I think he was just, like, he was the original, like, emo guy. I'm an emo guy. It's not a phase,
and
Mom.
Tonight
is gonna be the night. But yeah, he was a literary genius. He was an all-time baller when it came to the books and the pen. He wrote numerous short stories, long stories, poems, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, he was definitely an American literature hero, figure, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, he was a pretty big bummer. Like, definitely had...
Yeah, that's what I know.
A sad life. Life full of pain and suffering and just...
Yeah, I feel like I remember something happening with his wife that was sad or something.
Yeah, so first wife was his, like, younger cousin. So, like,
right.
That's always, like, a little, like...
I feel like that was just kind of, like, a norm back then, though.
I guess.
I feel like that was a thing.
Oh, no.
I'm not
talking
condoning
like
it.
1800s.
I don't condone that.
1800s, like, America.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
maybe America was like duck fuck dynasty back then.
Yeah, I feel like cousin fucking didn't become like a a big no-no until like the 1900s.
Oh, yes. I don't know, man.
I don't know. I also don't know.
All right, so we're doing the Edgar Allan Poe house. He had a couple of houses. There's like the Edgar Allan Poe house, actually in Philly, ironically, which we covered last week, but 2 weeks ago. But his, like, when he was younger, when he was writing a lot of his stories, he had a house in Baltimore that is now the Edgar Allan Poe House and Museum. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was built in 1830. Poe lived in it off and on for several years. He lived with his aunt, Maria Clem, his grandmother, Elizabeth Cairnes Poe, and his young cousin slash future wife, Virginia Clem.
Gross.
Yep, a little bit. It was just a very normal looking brick house. And it was when he he was living there when he started to publish his early works that gained him a lot of attention. He won a short story contest with the MS.
Sorry. How is that pronounced?
What?
Can you pronounce that again?
Short story contest?
What did I say? Said like short story or
something. Oh, maybe, dude. From MS, found in a bottle, which really was his launching point of his career. So his house in Baltimore is obviously, like you kind of alluded to with your story, like haunted because we're covering it. So that's how you know it's haunted.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was haunted because of just how much he just had such a heavy energy and presence. And he died very close to this house.
Yeah.
So they think like this being the spot that he had the most connection to close to his house, that he haunts it. They also think, or people, not they, but people think he haunts his gravestone, which is also very close to this location. So maybe he's doing double time. He's going back and forth. Boom, 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 boom.
You know what? Better than most ghosts have it.
Yeah. So the house itself is pretty small. He had a lot of grief when he lived there. He was also living in poverty when he lived there. And he also just like wasn't, his mental health was, I think, poor for a lot of his life. He also had cholera at one point, and they treated that with like mercury, which can fuck with your brain and stuff like that. So So he just had like stuff going on.
Hey, you have this really bad disease. I'm gonna give you some radioactive shit to help help with that.
Do you know that commercial, that like infomercial or like thing that they did like when we were like kids, the don't throw mercury in the trash? Do you remember that?
No.
I sing that in my head at least once a day.
No.
Don't throw mercury in the trash. Know your products with mercury so you can dispose of them properly. Things like batteries and fans can contain mercury. Know where to throw them away. Yeah, it was great.
You just recreated the commercial.
Yep, there we go. It's living on. It was like on the radio all the time as a kid.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
But yeah, so I'm trying to think of the way that I want to do this. Do you want me to get into his death or the hauntings at the house first?
Probably his death, right?
Okay, yeah. So he didn't die on October 3rd, 1849, but that is when he was actually found. So let me rephrase that. He died in like mid-October in 1849. And in the days leading up to his death, he was found in a ditch next to a tavern, Ryan's Tavern to be specific, very close to his house. That wasn't the house he was currently residing in at the time, but very close to the house that is my subject of my story. And he was found just delirious. Like, he was not coherent. He was not speaking coherent words. He was all over the place. And they brought him to a hospital after that. He went in and out of consciousness. He yelled, I want to see, what was the name that he yelled multiple times? Reynolds. He called out for Reynolds several times.
Do they know who Reynolds is?
So there was two people Reynolds could have been. Jeremiah N. Reynolds, which was an explorer that Poe admired, or a poll worker.
Like a
voting poll worker.
Oh, okay.
Not a stripper.
Yeah, okay. that clears it up.
But yeah, he was hallucinating, he was trembling, he was agitated, he was like shaking, cold, all that kind of stuff. So he died October 7th, he was 40. The official listing of death or cause of death was congestion of the brain or cerebral inflammation, which is often like a super vague term that they use to describe alcohol-related deaths.
So when was he found?
He was found October 3rd. or 4th. I said October 4th.
He was. But he said he died the 7th?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So he was in the hospital for 3 days. Okay, okay, okay. He was found October 3rd and then died October 7th. So he was found in the hospital for, or was in the hospital for 4 days.
Right, okay.
The first theory behind it was that he died of alcohol poisoning.
Right.
He struggled with alcohol. Kind of there was a history of it. But the most peculiar thing is that he didn't actually ever drink in large quantities. Like, he was never, like, a drunk.
He was just a consistent, everyday kind of guy?
Not really. It was just, like, anytime he drank, he became weird. But it would be, like, one drink would throw him off. And the thought of that was that he had a brain lesion or a condition that made him hypersensitive to alcohol.
Hmm.
So, like, even a little bit would just throw him off.
Okay.
He was seen pretty, like, close to, like, before, like, October 3rd and stuff like that, like, in the months leading up to it. Everyone was like, no, he's sober. Like, he was not drinking. He was doing pretty well and stuff like that. So, that one is a theory that people, like, lean on, but they're not super confident in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, it's possible. But it also, like, they also said, like, his, like, how he was acting wasn't super, like, it didn't 100% line up with, like, being drunk.
Right.
Like, there was some pieces of it that lined up, but not a ton. Another theory was that he had rabies. John Hopkins actually published this in 1996 that they proposed that he had rabies. Some of his symptoms, again, lined up with rabies. Another one was a toxic illness or poisoning. Like I said, the lead or mercury, a hair sample that was tested in 2006 showed low levels of mercury, but that was more in line with him being treated for cholera, which he had earlier. Murder or foul play, definitely one that people talk about. He had debts, people had vendettas against him, but again, just things seemed off and don't, like, that feels like kind of just throwing shit at the wall.
Yeah.
Broken heart or mental collapse. He just lost his fiance, who was kind of his later in life chance. He was trying to get back to New York, reportedly, but just never could make it out of Baltimore. The theory that is kind of the most widely agreed upon theory, the one that people think is the most true, is that he was a victim of cooping. And now an interesting piece about when he was found in the alley, like in the sewer next to the tavern, is that he was not wearing his own clothes. He was wearing clothes that did not fit him. They were not his style. They were not, like, just simply put, not his clothes.
So what is cooping?
So cooping is this form of election fraud, where they would kidnap people, they would drug them, and they would have them vote multiple times in, like, different disguises and stuff like that.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, never knew that was a thing.
Well, that explains the Reynolds poll worker.
Yes. And it was also, it was an election day that he was found on.
Okay. So, case closed?
Right? Kind of.
Like,
it's mostly closed.
That sounds,
but also just kind of like a crazy thing. Like, yeah, I think he just got drugged. Like, someone, whoever drugged him, overdosed him.
But also, if you're gonna like coop anybody, Edgar Allan Poe.
You might not have known it was him. I think he was a pretty, like, low key guy. Like, I don't think they super knew it was him.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like the most likely option, though, yeah, given all of the details. Election day, he was screaming Reynolds, and cooping was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the it's a pretty vicious trifecta there.
I agree with you 100%. Just wild way to go.
Yeah.
Like, just getting yanked off the streets, getting shot up with a mystery cocktail, and then just someone plays dress up and pushes you into a poll booth.
I feel like a theme across multiple episodes has been that, like, life back then was just like constantly being on guard for kidnapping and forcibly like enforced into some sort of labor.
Yeah.
Like being forced on ships, being forced to do election stuff.
Uh-huh.
So random. So crazy.
It's crazy.
Like you could just be like walking to your coffee shop and plucked up and forced to vote.
That's why I want to get fat, dude. Kidnap proof.
Nice.
400 pounds.
Yeah, just eat a bunch of pizzas.
Dude, Twinkie's new marketing campaign should be like, we're anti-kidnapping and we'll help you get there.
Are you skinny and kidnappable?
Not after a couple boxes of these.
Try Twinkie.
Oh, man. But yeah, no, crazy, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, let's get into the house itself. So, we're talking, I mean, pretty just stereotypical haunting stuff. We got the cold spots, his bedroom, and the second floor hallway. People feel a distinct temperature drop in, and thermal cameras have even picked it up, where just the air in there is just much colder. There is an overwhelming sense of being watched. So a lot of visitors feel that just sense of just like someone's watching you.
You're sixth being, sense.
Yep, you're being observed. It's usually, again, in his room or in the attic, actually.
Hmm.
So those are the two locations where that happens, and it's described as this like oppressive feeling. Like it's not just like someone's watching you. It's like a heavy someone's watching you. A parent woman in mourning. So woman in 19th century dress, like crying in the upstairs hallway and stuff like that. They do think that that is potentially his young cousin slash his wife. My wife. My cousin.
His wife. His cousin wife. Wife cousin.
My wasn't.
Kife.
I don't like that,
that
one.
That sounds bad.
That sounds really bad.
It's not.
It's not. But it's a made up word, bad. But that sounds like.
It sounds like it has negative connotations.
Like,
I mean, it does have negative connotations.
Yeah.
Cousin and wife. Bad. But the word itself sounds bad.
Yeah, like if I heard someone call another person that on the street, I'd be like, oh, that is not good.
Yeah, you're going to get your ass beat.
Uh-huh. 100%. Yeah, then, again, stereotypical disembodied whispers and moans. Soft whispers there. So it's not, like, very, like, huh. There's not, no one has described this as an aggressive energy. It's just, like, a slow, kind of thick, like, oh, geez, like, almost like a molasses.
Just a bummer.
Yeah, just a bummer. Just, like, that really heavy, it's like a weighted blanket of sadness.
Ugh.
Yeah, no thank you.
No.
Another one, we got the phantom footsteps. They can hear footsteps pretty much any hour of the day, even if there are people not there. And the most kind of notable, or the one that people think is Poe, is a shadow figure that sits kind of, or not sits, but like, exists at the base of like this really narrow staircase. Hmm. And then when you get close, he just runs up the stairs. Which I don't know, that seems pretty emo to me, so I think that would be him just chilling, just like kind of flipping his hair, doing the finger. Oh my gosh,
when I was a young boy. Yeah.
Nevermore. Nevermore. And then someone gets close. Oh fuck it. Oh, man. And then they just, he runs upstairs. So, I don't know. I think that's Poe. but that's just me. We should start a band called the Nevermores or the Ravens and just be emo Edgar Allan Poe impersonators.
Oh, my God, dude.
That just,
we should have a segment of this show where we just sing emo music at each other.
So, I don't hate that idea at all. Oh, man.
Dude, our intermissions should just be emo.
Or
emo music.
If we ever get to the point where we have ad reads, we should just read the ad reads as like emo songs where it's like, Cialis. I don't know why Cialis would sponsor our show, But like, have you ever felt the weight of not performing in the bedroom?
Because when I was a young boy, my father gave me the Cialis.
You're like, hold on, that's trauma right there. Oh, man. But yeah, that'd be pretty good. So, all right, we're getting off track. Let's play our favorite game that we like to play here on Spirits on Spirits. Haunted or nah? I'll go first. Hell yeah. Heliante, yeah.
I'm going to go yeah because I do think if anybody was a ghost, Mr. Edgar Allan Poe would be a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude was, as we've said, emo.
Yeah.
And he would sign up to be a ghost in a heartbeat, I think.
Yep.
So.
Agreed.
Certified haunt.
Certified haunt.
Certified yaw.
Certified yaw. Edgar Allan ho.
Edgar Allan, hold up.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there because it's definitely haunted.
Yeah. Oh, man. But I would definitely be interested in go. Like, if we do that road trip, Baltimore would be a good one.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Could go, like, I mean, I don't know if you'd want to do this because it's kind of grotesque, but, like, go see the gutter.
Yeah, I'd see the gutter. I find him such a fascinating figure. Anyone that can, like, has a way with words like that, I am just so fascinated by. Like,
yeah.
That you can inflict such emotion and feeling with words. That's why I like comedy, musicians, artists, poets. Like, I've just always been so fascinated by, like, that scripture on a page can create real emotions inside my body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got damn, deep. Dude, that was deep.
It's true, though. It is deep.
You were channeling your inner Edgar Allan Poe there.
I got Poe's calling.
And the roof collapsed.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. Well, I think that does it for us. Another successful Spirits on Spirits in the books. We are getting closer and closer to spooky season. So please make sure you are liking, subscribing, following, commenting, emailing, faxing, flare gunning, just however you want to get in touch with us, guys.
Bat signaling.
Bat signal, just anything. Like, we are at your beck and call, and we're excited for this spooky season. It's our first spooky season as a podcast. Obviously, we're big spooky season people. So we are very excited, you know, just to do stuff. We'll be out and about in Salem. If you guys ever are coming to Salem, please reach out. We can give you guys some recommendations for some haunted locations, some good bars, some just any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, definitely excited for the next couple of months as a podcast.
Yeah, dude, Salem's already bustling.
There's it's already.
Galore.
Uh-huh.
Tons and tons of people are out, and it's a Wednesday in July.
Yeah. So
things are kicking off here.
Yeah. So please come visit us. Dude, wouldn't it be so sick if we got to the point where we could, like, rent out a bar and do, like, a meetup, meet and greet?
Sick. That would be cool.
And, like, have, like, we need a Spirits on Spirits cocktail. Like, we need...
Dude, that,
create
yes.
a signature cock of Spirits on Spirits.
Yes. I agree.
Maybe that's brainstorm. Like, maybe we do that as a YouTube video. We create signature cocktails.
That'd be fun.
And like we
do
all
do like a taste test.
Taste test.
That'd
them.
Be cool.
That'd be really cool, actually.
Damn. Certified. Good idea.
So I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. So yeah, I think we got a couple things that we can get in the mix with. But all right, well, that's enough yapping. We appreciate you all, and definitely stick with us, and we'll see you next week.
Stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Peace.
Peace.